Hello, everyone, and welcome to More Than Coincidence, Remembering Jesus Christ in Your Story. As the author and finisher of our faith, our Savior writes personal experiences into each of our lives, which can later strengthen, empower, and bring us peace upon reflection. This podcast is dedicated to sharing these anchoring memories from everyone's unique stories in order to collectively remember and testify of the reality of Jesus Christ and His presence in our lives. I'm your host, Lily, and I'm very excited to share these experiences together. Okay, everyone, welcome tonight to the podcast. Today we have Meredith. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you, Lily?
Fantastic. Would you mind introducing yourself a little bit?
Sure. My name is Meredith. I study theater education and have three kids now, married.
You are really cool. So Meredith, what memories do you have that you reflect on that prick your heart in remembrance of our Savior, Jesus Christ?
So when I first heard your podcast and I started thinking like, what would I remember or what would I feel inclined to share? Because honestly, if I were to really think about it, there would be little sprinklings all through my life of all the, not coincidences, but those circumstances where that is true, like where my heart is pricked in remembrance of my Savior. But for the purposes of this podcast, this interview, I've kind of guided my answer on how teaching has prepared me for motherhood. Because when I was a child, I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. Because I was blessed with having such great teachers and all through elementary school. And I was like, you know, this is what I want to do. This is what I would love to grow to be as a teacher. Right. And sure enough, I went through high school with that same idea. And then I applied for BYU, got into BYU thinking I was going to do elementary education. But also kind of changed track just a little bit because I had a passion for theater as well. I've always loved theater, musicals, plays, being in, watching, you know, just any part of it I've always loved. Right. So I combined those two into that profession. And then I graduated in 2018 and I lined up a job to teach. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm doing the thing I have wanted to do for as long as I can remember.
Granted, it's a little bit different. I have arrived.
Dreams come true. Here we go. But I was also, I say it was a little bit different because I was earning what's called a Montessori certification, which is a kind of teaching pedagogy that's a little bit different from traditional classrooms. So I was doing that certification on top of this new job. I was teaching in a general classroom at a Montessori charter school.
Wow.
And it was going at first, where it was just, you know, first year teaching, I was starting out, like getting my feet under me. But then I got fired. Turned out from a situation, I've later talked to more experienced teachers about this, about what happened. And they said, you know, Meredith, you were the scapegoat in that situation because what happened to you has happened to me many times.
Oh, no.
And it was just one of those where the charter school was just starting out. And that is what they decided to do.
Right.
And I was just mortified. I remember them telling me, they said very nicely, they were like, well, I guess not nicely, but very gently, I guess, just saying like, you need to find other employment. I remember just going to the bathroom after that and just looking in the mirror and my face was red. Like, you know, you read in a book of like red as a tomato, I was literally as red as a tomato of just like, oh my gosh, I am so embarrassed, ashamed of like, how did this happened. No, yeah, but it's just that shock of like, oh my gosh, this is reality now. And I had packed up my classroom. It was the last day before fall break, so they're like, we have fall break to kind of figure something else out because. I was worried too because I was like, you know, I'm still doing the certification. I have to work to earn the certification. I'm putting hours in. I'm, you know, so
right.
I was able to line up something else and it happened. But I remember because I had a couple of weeks too where I had like fall break and then I was able to get a start. I was like, I can't start at this new facility until a couple of weeks from now. Mm-hmm. And I like, and they were able to keep me on. I was helping make materials and things. And then I had my exit interview. And all this being said, I'm trying to get to the point where I was walking out of the exit interview. And I had a thought that was very much not from my own head. It popped in my mind. It was, wait until you see where you are a year from now. And I'm like, okay, that's no consolation right now.
Just right. Right.
I'm like, all right, take your word for it.
Yeah.
And, see, and I kid you not, that happened on November 1st, 2018. Exactly 1 year later, to the day I gave birth to my daughter. And I was, remember, because that thought came into my head again, like, when all that happened, I was like, Kate, like, see, like,
right,
this is what... I could not have planned that at all. Like, I was working at another charter school, still earning certification. I went from going having an hour commute total to having a 4 hour total commute to my new job, taking the bus and the train, and being in my first trimester of pregnancy. It was just a lot.
I can't even fathom that. Bless you.
it was not the most fun time.
No.
To be honest. But. You know, as that time passed, and it was just very much the, all right, this is what you need to be doing now. Because after that school year, I had actually tried to find other employment because that school closed where I was working.
Yeah.
Fine. But, like, I can't go back to work there, so I was trying to find other employment. But nothing panned out. I got interviews, second interviews, you know. But it's just no offers, nothing. So I kind of took that as my sign. I'm like, no, this is what the next chapter is supposed to be motherhood. But yeah, it was right. Just kind of that, wait till you are a year from now, here's your baby. And really, so my first start, Mia, so she was born during respiratory season, so we were quarantining before quarantining was cool in the fall of 2019 of
right,
you know, just trying to keep her healthy. And she had to have a lip repair because she was born with a cleft lip, and we were just trying to keep her healthy, keep her safe. So we kept her healthy, kept her safe, and she had her lip repair February of 2020. And I kid you not, she had her lip repair, then she had another surgery. She had to go in the next week for a revision because crazy things. But then had her post-op after that, and then everything shut down. And plus were an elective procedure. So I had friends in the community who were freaking out because, I mean, depending on the severity, but there are a lot of cleft surgeries that were postponed or canceled because of COVID. And with everything going on in the medical field with COVID,
right,
plus were put on the back burner. And we were like, oh my gosh, like, if we had not gone to the extremes that we had gone, then we very well could have been in that same boat with being postponed or canceled for the time. And that just was not what would have been best for her. And so that was kind of another one of those circumstances of like, hey, wow, that's part of God's plan. And it's just not a coincidence that things worked out the way they did. And again, I have three kids. Mia is my first, and my middle name is Aiden. Mm-hmm. And I'm not skipping him on purpose, but for the purposes of this call, it's kind of jump to my other medical child. As much as I love my children, it's just kind of, we're going to jump to my third, because to be honest with you, he's where I really see the more than coincidence, to be honest, like all these different circumstances. He's really where I've seen God's plan. And it started really with his anatomy scan. Since Mia had a cleft lip, with all my kids, I'm like, are they going to have a cleft? Are they going to have a cleft? Because I mean, I can see it. Like, I know what I'm
looking for. You know how to spot one.
I can see it on the ultrasound. Yeah. And that ended up being the case for Nolan. Not for Aiden, but for my third Nolan. And I saw it, and I just burst into tears.
Yeah.
And we've done this rodeo. I know this. We can work through it and get it out, get through it. But I remember that date because I was going to have the appointment and they called me and they said, oh, your OB's not in office today, but you can still come in for your anatomy scan and then he'll call you with the results. And that's fine. But then with the cleft, I suspect like they're going to tell me about that because I already know. And then I'm sitting in a room after and another doctor comes in. I'm like, not supposed to be seeing a doctor. This is something not quite right. And sure enough, he explained how Nolan would have a heart defect. And this shock of like, what is this? There are so many unknowns of like, what does this mean? And at that time, it was kind of the best case scenario was you'd need major invasive surgeries, like a series of surgeries shortly after birth, and worst case scenario is you won't make it.
Yeah.
And it was just whole new anxiety of like, what is going to happen, what is meant for this baby, and this, how is this a part of it? And I just have seen little miracles, because I kid you not, literally days after that, we're sitting with this news, you know, and just, we'd only really told our families.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at church with my brother-in-law's former mission companion. They served in England together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he didn't go to church with my brother-in-law. He went to church with us as a family. Okay.
Because you guys are cooler.
We're cooler. I mean, he was married, and my brother-in-law went to the singles ward. I don't know if he's wanted to go.
That's funny.
I don't know. But we got to talking, like, just getting to know him. And he said, my wife's not here because she's at work. Oh, what do you do for work? And what does she do for work? And he said, she's a nurse at the cardiac intensive care unit at Primary Children's Hospital. And I'm like, really?
I have some questions for you.
And he was super excited. He was like, yeah, she'd be happy to talk to you. And like, would love to. Wow. That she can't give me your phone number. I'm like, oh my gosh, like we just found out about this, and this is just like an anchor point of like, okay, here's a name, here's a number of like who to talk to and get some answers in time when there were none. There were no answers.
Right.
And later too, though, thinking about those little miracles was we met a nurse. Let me backtrack for a second, because I feel like with news like this, things like this, you get little miracles, not just for you, but for your family or for people who are going through it, or like a little indirectly, because sister, she's an avid outdoor enthusiast. She rock climbs and she travels all over for rock climbing.
Yeah.
She actually went to British Columbia. She lives in Washington right now, but she was up in Victoria, British Columbia. And he called me. He said, Meredith, I'm on a rock right now. I'm in British Columbia. I'm like, I didn't know that's where you were. I don't know that's what you were doing, but you're calling me right now, okay? And she said, I had the most amazing conversation with this lady who was also there, because I guess with different rock climbing places, you kind of like wait to like get up and then like start going, and then the next thing go. So she was talking to someone in her group, and just, oh, where are you from? I'm from Tom, what do you do? I'm a nurse at the cardiac intensive care unit at Primary Children's Hospital. I'm like, what are the chances? I mean, not that big of a unit. Like, I've been here for some time now.
That's
there's
insane.
Not that many people there. I'm on a first name basis with probably 80% of that unit. And it's just, it was just wild. And it just blew my mind because I ended up meeting her later. I'm like, oh, like, because I got her name. I'm like, are you this person, like, do you rock climbing? And we clicked, like, oh, yeah, like, I met your sister while I'm rock climbing. Just,
yeah.
Another one of those moments of, like, hey, wow, like, this, here's a little tender mercy of just making a connection and having someone on your side and just, like, giving you that little nugget, per se.
That's got to be so comforting.
And especially just as we've been having multiple hospitalizations with Nolan, and like we've, as I was telling you earlier before we started the interview, this is our third time in the hospital, and just having those familiar faces, like, hey, yeah, we're back. And when we were in the hospital, end of November, early December, it all forced together. But I, so a little context for this next little kind of story. This is all kind of related. I was pumping for Nolan because with his heart condition and his surgery, it affected how the nerve that affects your swallowing ability to swallow liquids safely. And then taking liquids for them that's not through their NG tube, because he has an NG tube that goes into his stomach and he's able to have, you know, just normal consistency that way. But anything through a bottle has to be thickened. So anyway, I was pumping for him, we were fortifying it, and it was taking such a toll on my body. Pumping is hard.
It's very hard.
I'll get out because it's just constant, where if you're not pumping your sand, or you're storing, if you're not storing, you're sanitizing, and just round the clock, round the clock. And finally, I got food poisoning literally in the hospital, and it just shut down my supply drastically.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, this is a new low in terms of sickness. I've never been like sick like that. But I had just this nudge of like, you wouldn't have stopped any other way.
Right.
Like, well, thank you. I guess like I'm not taking a little nudge of like, you need to stop. I guess I've been thinking about it for some time. It's just like, you know, this isn't super sustainable with how much time this is taking. And I mean, I'm not being the mother I need to be for my other kids in terms of being time for them. Like, and it was just, pumping was not the right choice for us at that time. As much as I wanted to give him that, as much as I wanted to continue sustaining him through that, it was just kind of this literal hard stop of, you're done. And I guess that was kind of another tender mercy in that respect. I mean, just figuring out a new way forward, even if it was not what I had envisioned. But the cool thing is, though, I pumped so much because I stopped in December. Mm-hmm. He is still being fed on breast milk from what I was able to pump and what I still have stored in my freezer.
Like, oh my gosh, that is really cool.
I guess just all this being said, I think just with this coming full circle of my degree wasn't just about becoming a teacher, because let's be honest, raising children is kind of teaching all its own. It's a children's theater all its own. It's just
correct.
Figuring out and following the child and but just also being more empathetic, more perceptive, more accepting. And I feel like those are just all things that, I mean, when I went into being a teacher, I'm like, I'm going to teach, I'm going to do that thing. But I am still doing that, just not in the capacity that I thought. That doesn't make it any less valuable. It's just how I need to magnify those skill sets at this point.
Right. I think that that's a really valuable skill that you've learned. And I think your kids will honestly be really blessed for that, you know? So how would you say that in all of these, when you're looking back, how do you think it has fortified your testimony? Is it, you know, I lost my job, but hearing the voice just let me take that step into the dark? Or, you know, when I didn't know what was happening with Nolan, we got the diagnosis, meeting those two people let me take that step into the dark, you know? Is that kind of the theme I'm sensing? Or how would you describe these experiences as anchoring you to Christ? How do you think that they've solidified your testimony?
I think, you hear the expression, like, taking a leap of faith, or even a leap to faith. But this is almost like a drop into faith. Taking that tiny step, like the hymn, I'm sure you're familiar with, leap kindly light. And I kind of think of that, like, please leap kindly, like, don't take me somewhere. People, you're not great, but nice.
Right, right.
And just taking those little steps, because it's, and as you take those little steps, you get that assurance of, like, this is where you need to be going. This is how it's, this is according to the plan. Maybe not your plan, but the plan. And
right.
Keep trusting that it's all going to work out. But that's the thing that scares me too, though, is it's not necessarily that it's not going to work out, but it's how much is that going to hurt me? How much is this new okay going to hurt?
Right. I think faith hurts sometimes. I think the stretching and the impact of the faith drop. Yeah, upon impact, I'm usually like, why? And then you stand up, mend your broken self, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe that wasn't as bad as I thought. Or maybe it was bad, and you're like, I don't want to do that again, but I learned my lesson. Please don't do that again. So I know that in the beginning, you brought up how these experiences have also kind of strengthen your testimony, and also in motherhood. So you maybe want to expound on that a little bit too?
I think as a mother and embracing motherhood, it's really taught me how to give myself grace. And in terms of connecting that to the gospel, I mean, we know our Savior, it's by grace that we are saved, after all we can do. I mean, yes, we're still doing our best, but Christ's grace is what not just makes up the difference, it makes all the difference completely. And I think I've just learned a lot about grace and how that applies to me as a mother, but also as an individual and as a child of God. I'm doing my best, and it's got to be enough. I mean, don't sell myself up short. For doing everything I can, because caring and worrying, like, if you're worried about it, it means you're already a good, which means it's a little bit of a double-edged sword, because it's like, I shouldn't have to worry. Just that reassurance of, like, hey, like, you do care, you are trying, and just give yourself grace as you're growing in this new chapter of life.
Are there any other stories or thoughts that you have that you'd like to share before you leave us with the testimony?
I think I've shared most of, I did want to share one more layer too, though, of that story with the nurse who was a rock climber.
Yeah.
Because this was back when, my third was, we had like an induction date. Like we knew when all this was going to happen, right. Ideally, but we had the induction date, and it came out that, like, oh, that's when she'll be there. And the nurse said, oh, that's my birthday. And I'm like, that's literally your birthday. Okay. This is kind of another level, like, of the 365 days of the year. That's your birthday. Okay.
It's your birthday. Well, awesome. I really appreciate you reaching out to me and sharing your testimony and these experiences. Would you mind giving us a little testimony really fast?
Yeah. I've come across a scripture that I want to share as part of the testimony. Well, there's two actually. So the first is Psalm 55:22. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord; he shall sustain me. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And the next one kind of ties to that. It's Micah 7:7. "Therefore I will look unto the Lord; I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." I feel like those two just really kind of sum up, as much as can be summed up things as of late with children and really leaning on to God's plan and God's timing, because I have to believe that there is a plan. And if there's a plan, there's a planner. If there's a planner, there's a purpose. Right. Even if I don't know what all those things are yet. And even if things aren't going according to my plan, I'm grateful that they are going according to God's plan. I just want to bear that testimony that God is in the details of our lives and is aware of each of us and our needs and where we're at, and he'll give those little sprinklings of mercies if we just keep looking for him.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Meredith, for spending time with us tonight. And we're Team Nolan. We're cheering for him. We'll be sending prayers your way, hoping that he makes a speedy recovery.
Thanks, Lily. Appreciate you.
Thanks again for tuning into More Than Coincidence, Remembering Jesus Christ in Your Story. Please follow us on social media or share us with a friend. If you have an experience you'd like to share, feel free to reach out to morethancoincidence.rememberhim@gmail.com. I can't wait to hear all of the amazing memories you all have of our Savior. See you next time.